You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Song. We don't break it out too often outside of Confederate History Month, but it's always appropriate. That's my national anthem. That's Dixie. And welcome back to TPC this incredible weekend. We're celebrating Sam Bushman's 25th anniversary in Utah of his founding of his radio program and this network that carries our show. Obviously, this is also the weekend of the reinterment of Nathan Bedford Forrest, General Forrest, and his wife. You heard in the last hour from our good friends, Rich Hamblin and Gene Andrews, now from Columbia, Tennessee, live. There she is, the truth warrior, Jesus follower, wife, boy mom, lifelong learner. She's an apologetics practitioner for Orthodox Christianity, the Southern tradition, homeschooling, and freedom. She's a Virginian by birth, Carolinian by choice, a recovering feminist, socialist, atheist graduate of University of Wisconsin-Madison, and retired mainstream journalist turned domesticated belle and rabble-rousing rhetorician. Even her bio is a joy to read. She's adept at triggering leftists, Yankees, neocons, and global homers, and she's going to bang as loudly as she can. Of course, she's dissident mama herself, Rebecca Dillingham. Rebecca, it's great to have you back tonight. How are you?
James, I am doing wonderful. It is glorious to be speaking with you.
Especially tonight. So in the last hour, as you know, I talked with Rich and Gene about the visitation in advance of the reinterment that I actually had the chance to go to in Chapel Hill at the boyhood home, and to stand before the casket of General Forrest and Mrs. Forrest. Well, we spent an hour talking about it, but what a moment. I'll never forget it. You are the only one on the air tonight who was actually at the reinterment today at Elm Springs in Columbia, Tennessee. Tell us what I and the rest of us missed.
Well, it started off pouring buckets. I mean, buckets of rain this morning, so much so that I'm like, I drove 8 hours to be here, and I might not go because it was over the top, the amount of rain coming down. But we're like, we're here to see this. We're going to go over there, and if they're postponing it, you know, we'll just deal with that when we get there. But they were not. The clouds parted. It was cloudy at first, and then the sun came out, and then it was hotter than the blazes of hell that I told you earlier. It was so hot, so we can go back to our ancestors who were wearing wool in July with no air conditioning. We're bonding with that because it was so hot, but it was so glorious to be there. It was wonderful. I mean, all the speeches, the eulogies, you know, people just hugging, being together, the cannons. I mean, it really, I don't want to be melodramatic, but it was really cool to be there. However, they did not actually put them into the ground when we were there because I believe they said I was far enough away where I didn't hear the exact details. I think the plots were filled with water because it had been raining buckets of water. So they actually had to take them back into the Elm Springs mansion where people could go and pay their respects again. But they did not get them into the ground today. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it was very wet and muddy and humid there today. And yeah, they did not actually get put into the ground today.
Well, the heavens were crying, I guess you could say. And yet there, I know what you're describing. There's nothing like a day in the South when it rains and then the sun comes back out with that heat and humidity.
Yeah.
Well, that's understandable to be sure. But did you get the chance, as I did on Thursday, to actually stand and reflect in front of the casket?
Yeah, not on Thursday. We went in yesterday, so that's Friday. I'm getting my days all screwed
up.
Yeah, of course. Went to Elm Springs yesterday, and they were, you know, I guess it would be lying in state, and you got to see Marianne's casket draped in the Christian flag. And Forrest, I guess it was in the stainless banner or the bloodstained. I'm not sure. I couldn't see the edge of it, but it was beautiful. I mean, their caskets were gorgeous. It had pictures of them along the side. These ivory white caskets, just gorgeous. And then on the other side, you could see Nathan Bedford's Forrest, his original coffin, I guess.
Yes.
And it was iron with a copper top. And, you know, we got to talk to the guys in Memphis that helped it all happen, which I'm sure you know all those guys. But it was just incredible to see it there and then learn that Mary Ann's casket had disintegrated because I think it was made of some kind of wood. And that her body, I'm not saying it was like uncorrupted or anything, but it was, you could still tell it was a body. Like hearing all this stuff is just fascinating to me. So you did not get to see what she had been buried in, but she was there, you know, not completely turned to dust like her casket had been. I found that rather amazing.
Yes.
So, it was, I don't even know what to say about it. It was just really special to be there. Really, really special.
Yeah, you brought up something that we didn't mention the last hour. So, of course, you were there today at what would have been the reinterment had it not been for the rain. Obviously, the reinterment will take place very, very soon. But when we were there for the visitation in advance of the reinterment at the Boyhood Home on Thursday, yes, you could see the original casket that carried the original remains of Forrest. But then, of course, to stand in front of the new caskets that they both got for this, their now third burial, and hopefully the last, hopefully third time will be the charm. Still something, and it goes back to family, Rebecca, and this is what we opened the show with. So our dear friend Sam Bushman, who owns this radio network that syndicates this program, he is celebrating his 25th anniversary on the air. This is now our 17th. Our 17th anniversary will be next month in October. Sam is at 25, and we were talking so much about faith and family and raising families right and sharing and imparting this wisdom and these truths to our children, and we were talking about that in the first hour. So I was remarking just a few minutes ago with Gene and Rich about what it was like to drive the 3 hours from Memphis to Chapel Hill, where the Boyhood Home is, and to just spend that time talking about Forrest and why he's a hero and giving these truths to our children, and to stand before the caskets with my children and my wife. I mean, that was something. You did the same thing today, I know, with your boys, yesterday, today with your boys. What was it like being there with your family?
Well, it's hard doing these things sometimes, and you feel like, you know, you're beating your head against the wall, but you know, I think they got it. And it's interesting for me, you know, as a Virginian and, you know, person who lives in North Carolina now, I know a lot about Lee and Jackson. I knew a teeny tiny bit about Forrest, and we've just been, you know, listening to Bustel Wide Open. We've been, you know, soaking in, like going to the Boyhood Home today, listening to everything Gene Andrews has to say, you know, listening to everybody speaking, of course, being at the SCV Museum at Elm Springs. You know, I've just never been more convinced than ever that this is an existential war, and this is why we have our children here. It's not just our history. This is very, very important. And, I don't know what else, you know. Okay, so it's a pain to drive far away and, you know, sometimes, you know, have to deal with your kids complaining, but I think they get it. You know, I mean, I think they really, really get it because this is about truth, and this is about,
solution to so
you know,
many of our problems.
The spirit. I mean, it's, I think it, Hold on. I think my kids got it.
Rebecca, pardon the interruption. Well, it's never easy to do the right thing, that's for sure. We got to take a commercial break. We're actually late for the break. DissidentMama.net. We got Rebecca for another segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
God, the foundation for moral law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We are a band of brothers, a native to the soil, fighting for our liberty with treasure, blood, and toil. And when our rights were threatened, the cry rose near and far. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
You'll definitely want to check out, ladies and gentlemen, DissidentMama.net. That is where Rebecca Dillingham, she doesn't worship sacred cows. She eats them. And that's DissidentMama.net. And she was there today in Columbia, Tennessee at Elm Springs for the reinterment of General Forrest and his wife, Marianne. What would have been the reinterment had it not been for the rain. And as soon as they can get everything prepared again, they will be reinterred. But today was the funeral service. Today was the funeral service. And, of course, we were at the visitation at the Boyhood Home on Thursday, two separate events, all part of the same, I guess, procession. Can you still hear us, Rebecca? Okay, I don't know if Rebecca can hear us. Let's try to call her back if we can, Mrs. Producer. And we'll try to get her back on the line there. I know she is from afar. She is on a cell phone in Columbia, and we will try to get her back as quickly as possible. A point Rich Hamblin was going to make, though, was that Forrest belongs to the entire South, not just to the Sons of Confederate Veterans. We like the work that the SCV does on in many regards, but they don't own him. And so I think it was a mistake to make this a private event. This is something that should have been more like the Hunley celebration and the Hunley funeral. Now, of course, that was a little bit different. They were being laid to rest for the first time after being found so many years after their act of heroism. But with regard to Forrest, of course, you're being forced to react to the events that have been thrust upon you. Are you back with us, Rebecca?
I am.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, I know on the phone and on the road and cell phones and all of that. But hey, listen, I heard something. I learned something just a few minutes ago. You were talking about, hey, you're from Virginia, so Lee and Jackson, of course, over here in Memphis, we're on the Western Theater, and it's all about Forrest. They're all heroes. Not one better than the other, just different. Of course, we're from different parts of the South, but we're still at home no matter where in the South we travel. That's something Sam Dixon often says. You can go from Arlington, Virginia to Corpus Christi, Texas, and you're still at home. This is our nation. Heard that you actually were able to go over to the boyhood home and meet Gene Andrews, who you interviewed at DissidentMama.net not too long ago. I did not know that. I did not know that you were planning that or that that was going to be worked out. So what was that like?
Well, I wanted to go, and I didn't know if he was open because I had no idea if he was going to be there today or whatever. And so I called the awesome Gene Andrews, and he actually called me back and said, we'll be open from 12 to 4 today. And I'm telling you, the interment was wonderful, but it was a whole different thing being at the boyhood home. And I mean, you know, Gene, you're the one who introduced me to Gene, and being there today, I mean, my kids were like, that was so awesome. I mean, it was just incredible being in there and seeing this pioneer life that he was a part of, even if that was only where he lived for, you know, 3 or 4 years. But I've got to say, one of the things that you were saying earlier, talking about family, it's camaraderie too. You know, this whole thing, you know, we don't have many safe spaces. And this whole weekend was really lovely for not only, you know, I need my safe spaces too, but for my kids to see that it's okay to be proud of your heritage. It's okay to, you know, think your ancestors are worthy of, you know, revering and remembering. And, you know, I think they got that today, but it was a funeral, so it's a little long for, you know, kids. But I think it was like the cherry on top to go to the boyhood home. You know, it's our safe space and meeting people who are like-minded. We need that, and we got that today.
Well, I talked about this earlier tonight as well, talking about the kids and how important it is. I mean, if we don't teach them, who will? The state, the government, the anti-Christ, anti-Southern, anti-family government. And so going up there and having that three-hour car ride to talk about Forrest, talk about our heroes, why they're heroes, what the opposition says about them, setting the record straight, all of that that you do as homeschooling parents. And then I went up to my daughter's bedroom on Thursday night after the visitation at the boyhood home, and I'd found a piece of white paper where she had written the lyrics to Dixie, because we'd been singing it earlier, and she had written it out on paper. She wasn't asked to do that. That wasn't an assignment or anything like that. So it does have an effect. It does, and I was so proud to just see. I mean, you know, heart bursting and, you know, beaming with pride. It's just, hey, tell them the truth. And, you know, men need that as well. Adults, women, men. It's unfortunate today that we have so many adults in our society that have never matured from a childlike mentality. And they believe whatever they've told, and they can't. Logic and reason escapes them. Truth escapes them. So what you're doing, Rebecca, at your website, what we're trying to do here, what we're trying to do in our homes, it can't be overstated, I don't think.
Yes, I agree.
And these trips, you know, are a part of it. I mean, these trips are a part of it.
Yeah.
And I've seen your trips all over the South that you've documented on Dissident Mama. And by the way, that was actually a question I was going to have, because I got to admit, I went to your Twitter feed a couple of times today. I know you've been busy. You've been on the road. I went to the website. Are you going to be posting any pictures? Are you going to write an article about this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of a deep dive kind of gal, so I'll do some kind of big picture thing. But yeah, I do. I've been trying to take a break from social media, but I should just share some pictures. I mean, I got glorious pictures today, and because of the cloud cover, I mean, nobody's squinting and stuff. Like, the pictures probably look really good. Yeah, so I'll be doing
that. That was the thing that was interesting, because I was sort of, I've been all over the map in the last month. Missouri, Alabama, Nashville on Thursday, had a flight to Utah on yesterday. I got to go to East Tennessee later this month. It's just been crazy, but it's been so crazy. I just lost my train of thought right there live on the air. There was a thought in there somewhere, but I don't even remember what it was. But anyway, I look forward to your I look forward to your report and seeing a little more about that. No, I know what it was. I was looking earlier today, and there just wasn't very much at all. You would think this was such a momentous event. I mean, whether you're a right-thinking person who's in favor and celebrating this event and celebrating Forrest for the hero and the man that he was, or if you're part of the opposition, there just wasn't a lot on social media, no articles at all. I mean, that really struck me as odd. Very little being said about this today. This is a huge deal.
It is a huge deal. And on one hand, it's what made me think in the beginning it would be safe to bring my kids here. So, I mean, the security was awesome. You know, I at no point thought something nuts was going to happen. Or if it did, it would be quelled in like 3.5 seconds. But, yeah, it is weird. It is kind of weird. So, you know, you've motivated me. I'm going to put some pictures on Twitter when I'm done talking to you. But yeah, it was history in the making. That's why I wanted to bring my kids. They did not want to come, but you know, it's sometimes like camping. I do liken it to camping because camping's hard. Everything always goes wrong. But then at the end of it, you're like, man, that was really worth it. And we have these memories. I mean, this was like, you know, camping on steroids or whatever. It was incredible. So I don't know why people aren't, I mean, this is after the fact. I'm sure it's fine to do that. I'm not sure what the ramifications are, security or anything, but I'm going to be saying something.
Oh, no, I mean, no, I posted pictures from the boyhood home.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't take pictures of the casket out of respect for Forrest and Mrs. Forrest. But I mean, I posted pictures from the grounds of the. I posted a couple of series of pictures. Anyway, safe travels back to your home tomorrow. Can't wait to meet you in person. Hated it couldn't be this week. There was just so much going on this weekend, and it just the stars didn't align. But they will, and when they do, I'll look forward to it. Thank you for all you do. DissidentMama.net. It's been a great night. Thank you, Rebecca. And we will talk to you again very, very, very soon. We'll be back to wrap up the show with Jack Ryan right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Department of Homeland Security is deporting Haitian migrants to discourage more border crossers from streaming into a camp in South Texas. Human rights groups and some Democratic lawmakers oppose the plan. A crowd of more than 15,000 have crowded under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas. Texas lawmakers continue to criticize the administration's response, especially for not ensuring the migrants are vaccinated. Texas Republican Congressman Troy Nels.
The testing and the mandatory vaccines and stuff only apply, the travel restrictions only apply to the American people.
The Department of Homeland Security announced 400 border agents will be in Del Rio on Monday to help deal with the surge. They also say flights will be stepped up to send migrants back to their home countries. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow. Made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better, or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99, but only if you use my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
The KMP complex fire continues to grow in California's Sequoia National Park as crews brace for significant wind activity. The fire has burned a total of 18,000 acres and remains 0% contained, according to the National Park Service. The Sequoia National Park's giant forest is home to more than 2,000 giant sequoias, including the General Sherman tree, the largest tree on Earth by volume, according to the service. The fire has reached a small area of the giant forest, known as the Four Guardsmen, where trees have been wrapped in heat-resistant material. Wind on Friday has caused the fire to pick up significantly. Elsewhere in California, the Caldor Fire is now 71% contained as firefighters have strengthened control and containment lines. The Dixie Fire is now 88% contained. The fire encompasses nearly 100,000 acres and spans five California counties. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, you can't tell by the way I used to walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. The music loud. Well, it won't be kicked around since I was gone. Now it's all right. That's okay. And you may look the other way. But we can try. The woman's man. New York Times a man on man. Whether you're a mother away, whether you're a mother, you're staying alive. Staying alive. Feel the city breathing and everybody shaking. And you're staying alive. Staying alive.
Well, the Bee Gees. Now, that's I'll tell you what. Now, that's some good music right there. They have some good songs. They do. It's a little bit different than the music we've been playing earlier tonight because with the Sam Bushman 25th. What a night it's been. I mean, a night of overlapping, incredible happenings. Sam Bushman's 25th anniversary in Utah last night, which I had the opportunity to address. Obviously, all this weekend, including on Thursday, where I was in Nashville still, near Nashville in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, for the visitation in advance of the reinterment of Nathan Bedford Forrest this weekend, tonight, today. The reinterment of Forrest, Dissident Mama, was with us to report live from Columbia, Tennessee. Obviously, in the last hour, Gene Andrews and Rich Hamblin. Sam Bushman in the first hour, a lot going on. When I have a chance to decompress come Monday, I'll probably sleep for a week, and then we'll get Keith Alexander back on the show. We have been hopscotching the map, Missouri, Alabama, Nashville, Utah. Still have a trip to East Tennessee that I've got to go to, another event there. That's all within the last month, by the way, and three of those locations just this week alone. Well, joining us now, though, back with us, Jack Ryan, to close out this very unusual, would be certainly a word I would put, unusual, definitely historic in many ways. This is, it's one to remember for TPC. Jack, we're all staying alive, though, aren't we? What more can we do in this day and age but stay alive? Take it away, my friend.
Well, I want to send you warm greetings from just outside of Chicago, the beautiful, safe, wholesome, clean. There's no crime. Well, we had a little bit of crime this week. We had shot and killed 20. Shot and wounded 88 folks. You people have that total shot 108 and total homicides 22. So we had two homicides that weren't through getting shot and killed. So I think in London, England, they kill you with knives, but in Chicago, it's mostly with guns. But it's beautiful. This is the most beautiful time of year, and I would love to have you come visit. And our city is the most beautiful modern city in the world. There isn't it. Okay, so you have some issues of dead bodies and things like that. But come on, what are you thinking?
If you could survive it, you should come see it. That should actually be the tourism slogan. If you can survive it, you should come see it.
Well, there is that. I tried to get into the Chicago history tourism business with my knowledge and love of our city and history. I'm starting at the real bottom. I didn't do that great the first week. They had me working on Labor Day, and then I got one negative review, and I was fired on Labor Day. So it wasn't a great success. But our city's history is very interesting, very young history, and we had just had lots of really stupid things. We built an entire city out of wood; the whole place burned to the ground. We had the Fort Dearborn massacre. There are no American military victories in Chicago. They don't even call it a battle of Fort Dearborn. These Native American Indian tribes that were allied with the British in the War of 1812, they attacked Fort Dearborn. The battle actually lasted 15 minutes. half the people, Americans, were slaughtered. The rest were held hostage and had to be ransomed off. So we haven't had a military debacle as bad as the Fort Dearborn massacre until last this month in Afghanistan. So there's bad things. So that's sort of my theme tonight of staying alive. I know people have had some bad political things. Their scenes are terrible in California and things like that. But my message to our listeners right that is to toughen it up, okay? And so we're going to stay alive. We've been through worse things. I've been through so much worse things. I've lived two-thirds of my life in Chicago and New York City in the late 80s. So we're tough people, and we're going to have to stick it out. So we're not just because there's some bad things, it doesn't mean that you should give up or commit suicide or move. Where are you going to flee to? New Zealand or something like that? Come on, let's toughen it up. And our people, our listeners are a little tougher than your average people, and we're staying alive.
You also had Camp Douglas up there where Confederates were starved, but we won't hold that against you, Jack. But I know one of your themes tonight, obviously the reinterment of Forrest, so the South is on our mind, as it always is, and rightly
right.
So. I know one of your themes tonight is to suggest the way our enemies and traitors use false religion against us, so they've taken away actual religion, and drug dealers like George Floyd and punks like Trayvon Martin are made into martyred saints, and that's sort of like the new heroes. We were talking about, you know, you had people like Forrest and Lee who actually risked life and limb in battle, but, you know, they're not heroes. The heroes were actually the malcontents who sat at lunch counters without an invitation. That's true heroism. But this whole thing with there's new political correctness is the religion. Martin Luther King is the God. George Floyd's a saint. This is where we're at now.
Well, that is what I want to talk about tonight. And our enemies are, they're evil, they're hateful, they're cruel, they're liars, but they're effective, and they know how to use things like religion, where our side, we tend to be reasonable. We try to talk about people's fairness, but other sides are not being fair. So what's happened is that our country that we knew, the one that Keith Alexander liked so much, is the 1950s to about 1963. That country was very stable. Everyone spoke English. Most people were Christian. There was a Jewish minority. But we'd have basic holidays, which would be George Washington's birthday, we'd have Easter, we would have Memorial Day, 4th of July, Independence Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. And then these other people, they didn't want to do Christmas.
Columbus Day. A minor holiday, but Columbus Day as well.
Right, Columbus Day, right. And then St. Patrick's Day, the other ethnic groups. I don't know why we never made a big deal about St. George's Day or St. Andrew's Day, but those are the other saints of the British people. So that's what it is. And so these malcontents, these adversaries, these enemies, and these traitors have created other holidays to replace our traditional holidays. So instead of having George Washington's Day, you have Martin Luther King's days. They made Easter, instead of it being the resurrection of Christ, it's about Easter eggs and stuff like that. And then they push in these Juneteenth, which goes around the American Independence Day. And then they pushed around, obviously the Jewish people have Hanukkah because they don't want to do Christmas. And so they did this copy of Hanukkah to be Kwanzaa. So they're doing other religious holidays to try to make substitute our deals. And then they are making these other people, okay, maybe there's a then the police didn't do so good, but George Floyd, he's not a saint. He's a hard drug dealer. He sells meth and heroin to people. So why is it that guy is a saint? And why is Martin Luther King a saint? Outside of not killing anyone, Martin Luther King broke every single of God's Ten Commandments. And so there's no reason why our listeners should worship Martin Luther King or George Floyd or Trayvon Martin or these other people. So that's what's been done to us, and our enemies are doing that. And I think that we need to do the same thing. We need to make our martyrs to be, you know, saints and things like that. Or what was the woman on Ruby Ridge? Randy Weaver's wife, the Victoria Weaver, I mean, she was killed in a brutal way. So we, I think, need to do religion the same way, that our people should be martyrs, like that gal that was doing the protests on January 6th. She was unarmed, she was a veteran, and she was just brutally killed. So I think we need to also start doing religion in our ways. And we're using way too much just on being reasonable and talking about economics and laws and things like that.
Yeah, and good on you for bringing up Vicky Weaver, and good on you for everything you've talked about now. You've got the ridiculous Kwanzaa, MLK birthday, Lincoln's birthday, all of this stuff pushing out Easter, Christmas, Columbus Day, etc. And then you've got a whole month now for so-called Black History and homosexual pride.
Black History, homosexual pride month,
Yeah, it's just disgusting. It's degenerate. It's wrong, and a healthy society wouldn't stand for it. The Taliban doesn't stand for it. You know, you wonder who's,
who's
better off. And in some ways, yeah, they are. But well, that's actually something you were going to talk about. Am I wrong, Jack? The comparing and contrasting the Taliban and the pushy liberal women like Hillary and Elizabeth Warren and Rachel Maddow and Ellen and Oprah and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'm making a confession tonight to my priest, but I have my issues with 8th century Islam. I think that you should use toilet paper and soap. But yeah, I'd like to see Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton in a burqa with a big gag over her mouth. I think that would patient, don't you?
Yeah, it would certainly make the country a better place. I can't argue with that. You know, Hillary reemerged recently to say basically the same exact thing that George W. Bush is saying, and that's the real terrorist or the domestic terrorist. And that's anybody who voted for Trump, obviously. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. One more segment.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Outside of Chicago is the baddest part of
You know, that's not the first time, and God willing, it won't be the last time we play Bad Bad Leroy Brown when Jack Ryan's on the show. But what you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, what you couldn't possibly know is that Jim Croce actually – Leroy Brown's an alias for Jack Ryan. When he's talking about all the downtown ladies call him Treetop Lover, all the men just call him Sir, he's talking about Jack. He's badder than old King Kong. It's Jack Ryan most every week, closing out the show here on TPC from the south side of Chicago. Jack, if we ever call you and you don't answer, we'll just we'll consider you to be a statistic of the rapid and unparalleled third world crime that you have on the south side of Chicago. But hey, you're hanging in there. You're staying alive in Chicago. That's something.
I'm staying alive. No, I've lived 2/3 of my life in Chicago and New York City. My most important years of my life, I was teaching the charming ages of 7th and 8th grade in Brooklyn, New York. That was the best thing I ever did in my life, was be a Brooklyn public school teacher. It just taught me what was right and what was wrong, and how you got to stand up for yourself. So much of our problems are that conservatives are physical cowards, that they not only can they not fight or take terrorists, but just the idea of some 13-year-old getting in their face and calling them names, they back down. And that is the biggest problem. And that's why our people go with the flow. That's why they support these stupid neoconservative wars. I can't believe we wasted 40 years in Afghanistan backing these mountain Muslim jihadists and then going to Iraq. I still can't believe that we did it, but we did. And then we've got this idiot president of the United States who was elected governor of Texas. He was elected 2-time president of the United States. And now on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, making speeches and saying that regular white Americans are the most evil threat to our country. And this guy was a cheerleader, a male cheerleader for Yale University, and he was elected governor of Texas, the president of the United States, and that no one ever, threw a shoe at him. No one ever got in his face and just popped him or something. I'd like to meet that guy and just, okay, I can't take on the most brutal head chopper or whatever thing, but George W. Bush, in a face-to-face with that guy, man, it's going down, and I'm pretty sure I could just take that guy without any problem then. I'd bust his nose, break some teeth, and then I'd force him to put his nose in dog poo and make him apologize for the stupid stuff that he, his father, his grandfather, that's 3 generations of terrible Yale Bushies. His father was a Connecticut liberal senator from Connecticut, Prescott Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, and then George Bush. And this, it's just embarrassing to us. And we've got to stand up to him. And these guns are not going to help us. It's not. We have to physically fight or just get in their face. So, yeah, I don't have strong opinions about the Bush family. I think they're worse than the Kennedy family, to be honest with you.
Well, this was something that Brad Griffin, I actually met you through your work at Occidental Dissent. Brad Griffin and I, Brad Griffin was on the show last week. I hope I can scroll back long enough to find this. I'll never find the exact, I did. The exact comment here. Brad was, so I was in Alabama last week. I'm all over the place. I don't even know where I'm at now, but I'm not home. But with Brad last week, he was talking about Joe Biden having this incoherent rant about boxing Donald Trump and the state of Ron DeSantis in Florida with the COVID restrictions and his pushback against that, and righteously so, and Robert E. Lee, even the removal of the Lee statue. And Brad wrote, Joe was having another one of those days in which he faded in and out and was lost in his senility. But even on his worst days, he's not half as bad as George W. Bush. That's Brad Griffin at Occidental Dissent. And, I don't know if you could argue with it. I mean, they're both pretty bad. I guess it gets down to just levels of bad when you get down that far. But Bush is truly awful.
Well, he always struck me, once I became red pilled in the early 90s, and David Duke set me straight about the few things that I didn't know about. But George W. Bush, he always struck me as being just a twin of that character.
Okay, we may have lost Jack. This is one of those nights, I'll tell you what. No, there he is. Are you back, Jack? Okay, we'll rely on Mrs. Producer to bring us back to Jack or get Jack back with us. Or we could just play Hit the Road, Jack. We only have a few minutes remaining. We could just go to music the rest of the way. I know Jack had a recommendation for a movie that he'd want to get to, and we'll see if we can pull him back. And if not, well, we'll just thank everybody else. We'll pull up a song and ride to the house. I got to get back to the house. I got to get some rest, I got to tell you. I got to get rested up. We got to get Keith Alexander back on the show. Keith Alexander the Great, he's been out a couple of weeks. I've been here and there, hither, tither, and yon, as I like to put it, and we'll get Keith back on next week. Saw the Bombardier Eddie Miller last week. What a great show last week with all the guys, Sam Dixon and Michael Hill and everyone else who participated in that broadcast. Jack texted, my movie recommendation is the Chicago-based movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Well, that's another problem we've got, this obesity pandemic. Maybe that's the real pandemic. It was the obesity pandemic. We could get into, we should have Dr. JF back on to talk about where we are with vaccines and all of that stuff. I guess Jack's cell phone died, and that's okay. You know, that could happen. That could happen to anybody. Am I wrong? Oh, here's one that we didn't cover a lot of news tonight because, of course, of the special events, the 25th anniversary for Sam Bushman, the what was going on with Forrest. Jack is back, but I'll tell you very quickly. Thousands of Haitians, this goes back to COVID, thousands of Haitians. How did Haitians get to Mexico, by the way? Now, that's something to consider and to ponder. Thousands of Haitians are pouring across the border. This is a UK Daily Mail article. After Biden said illegal immigrants won't have to get vaccinated. Now, everybody else has to get 18 vaccines and boosters, and you got to get, you know, you got to get them. You're not going to be able to go to work. You're not going to be able to do these things. But if you're an illegal alien, don't worry about it. You know, we're not really serious about it. So go check that out at James Edwards TPC. There, too, you will find all of the great pictures that I took at the boyhood home. Hey, Jack, while we wrap up, I just made mention while I was treading water there a moment ago, your movie recommendation, My Big Fat Chicago Greek Wedding. What do you got?
It is a good movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's set in Chicago. It's about a gal that looks like she's going to be a spinster. She's almost gone in, and then she meets a Anglo guy, a teacher, and she falls in love with him. But this is a very Greek immigrant community where it's very insular, and they only date and marry within their own people. It's a beautiful romantic movie. It's great, but it's also something that you can survive in this crappy world that we're in. So they don't worry that the rest of the American culture has gone bad. These Greek communities, Polish communities, I've got ex-Yugoslavian communities, there's Armenians in California. They have their own communities, they've got their own churches, they've got their own blogs and things like that. So they don't really worry too much that the rest of mainstream traditional America is going down the tubes, because they got their own community and they stay in touch with life in the old world. And so a lot of places are doing really, really good. So I wanted to recommend tonight the English language version of Hungarian Journal, which that country is doing fantastic. They're doing great. Poland's doing great. Viktor Orban, the leader of Hungary, is so base. He stood up to this cult Marxist liberation theology Pope that's trying to get him to feel guilty about not, you know, partaking in millions of Muslim migrants. And Viktor Orban just gave him a letter of what one of the Hungarian kings gave to the Pope in 1000 AD and said, we're being invaded by these Mongol Muslim people. We have to fight. And so Viktor Orban's great. So read the journal, Hungarian Journal. There's great things going on in Poland and Hungary. It's just the American mass media is not ours, so don't worry about it. Cut your cable. Don't let Jeff Zucker from CNN into your home. It's just not us. I mean, we're living in an occupied country, so why not look at something that's good? And don't freak out that you don't have any good Christmas movies at Hollywood or not. You're not. That's the way it is.
Hey, for Jack Ryan, for Sam Bushman celebrating his 25th anniversary on the air, for General Nathan Bedford Forrest and his defenders, Rich Hamblin, Gene Andrews, Rebecca Dissident Mama Dillingham, James Edwards here. Hey, don't forget, we are in the midst. We have just passed, in fact, the halfway mark of our critical third quarter fundraising drive. Jack Ryan, a member of our staff even, making a contribution. He asks you to match it. Thank you, Jack, for that. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Keith Alexander will be back then. Who knows what will happen between now and then. Love you, Jack. Godspeed, everybody. Rest in peace, General Forrest. Congratulations, Sam, on 25 years. Talk to you next week. Stay safe in Chicago. Yes, got to stay safe up there. Keep Chicago straight, if you can, with that mayor. Good night, everybody.